Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Nothing Major. We are going to recap on this week's episode, the Dubai event, the Acapulco event, and we are going to talk about the winner of the inaugural Men's Hottie Bracket Challenge. So that's what we have in store for you. Nothing Major starts in 3, 2, 1. Welcome back to Nothing Major. I'm John Isner, joined as always with Sam Querrey, Jack Sock, Stevie Johnson, and Charlie Fox, our executive producer, and his team at Sift Creative. So we are filming this on Monday. Just as a reminder, we are dropping 2 episodes a week. One on Monday, which what we're doing now, where we go over the previous results on the ATP Tour around the tennis world. And on Friday, we're going to drop as more of a evergreen show where we talk about our experiences on tour. We did this for the first time last week. We think that people really enjoyed it, but what we do need some help from our listeners on is a name for our Monday show. And we actually asked fans on social what they wanted to maybe call our Monday show. And some came up with some decent names. Major Monday, Dropping Deuces could be okay. Monday Hangover, the Nothing Major Roundup. Do any of you guys like those three options?
I told my wife about Dropping Deuces last night, and I was laughing about it, and she just walked out of the room and didn't talk to me for like an hour, because I thought it was so funny. But that one's scrapped.
That one.
As good as that one was, scrapped.
It is good, and it's got a nice little ring to it, but I don't think we're going to use it. Jack, Stevie, you guys, I guess Major Monday or Monday Hangover? The Hangover could be all right.
I like Monday Hangover. I mean,
I like Major Monday.
All right, well, we'll figure it out. Jack, what do you like?
I mean, I like having Nothing Major in there, just so kind of keep along the same, keep the title in there, but it's also a little long. So honestly, I'm not really a fan of any of them. Kind of think we can, come up with something
else. We can do better. I like that.
Yeah, I think we can do better.
All right. Anyways, guys, weigh in on social, on our Instagram, on our Spotify. You can comment on Spotify, which I just recently figured out. I'm really, really bad. YouTube, and on our website, nothingmajorshow.com. Send in what you think we should name this Monday show. But anyways, we're going to get into it right now. We had Dubai go on the ATP 500 with Stefanos Tsitsipas, took the title. In a bit of a resurgence for him, Acapulco 500, which was absolute carnage from start to beginning, and Tomas Mahach took the title there. And as I mentioned, Chile happened as well as a 250, and we're not going to talk about the 250 on clay the week before Indian Wells. We're going to focus this week's episode on Dubai and Acapulco, but let's start with Acapulco. As I said, it was absolute carnage. It was a loaded field, as it always is, and so many players could not even make it out of the second round, and most of that was due to food poisoning. We should just call it Montezuma's revenge. I don't think it was a case of, who knows what it was a case of, but this can happen in Mexico. And one of our pod members had this exact experience happen to him in Acapulco. So Stevie, I want to start with you. I guess when you go down in Mexico, when you play in Acapulco, when you play in Los Cabos, is this something you're always sort of leery of the potential to possibly get a little upset stomach? And tell us about your experience, Stevie, in that 1 year. You didn't take the court, right? I think you had a second round match or something.
Yeah. So early in my career, I think I was very kind of aware of my surroundings going down there. You know, luckily I had you guys who had been there before, and you know, kind of you give us some ideas, some general rules of thumb when you go down to some of these tournaments, you know, brushing your teeth, drinking the water, etc., all these things. So the first couple of years, I felt as if I was pretty aware about it. And then I was like, oh, I'm fine. You know, I had 3, 4, 5 years, no problems. And then 2018 comes around. And I think maybe I just got unlucky. Maybe I was just not as diligent with my routine. But some tummy troubles came about in the night before my first, I think it was first round match against Zverev. And boy, the next like 36 hours were not great.
Did you default?
I had to default, yeah. So that was
Oh, you had to pull out all together.
It was first round. CB, Craig Boynton was with me at the time. I'm like, you know, it's 8 in the morning, 9 in the morning, 10 in the morning. I play at 9 p.m. at night. I'm like, I'm good. Like, I'll be fine. Like, let me just get this out of my system kind of thing. Boy, didn't get out of my system. So like 7:30, I was like, CB comes over. It's like, if you can eat some chicken and rice, like, I'll let you go play. But other than that, like, there's zero chance you're walking out there. Ate it. And about 10 minutes later, didn't go well. I pulled out, like, you know, so it just can happen. And this year, whether it be on site at the courts or the tournament restaurant, because there's only two places where, you know, guys can eat. So there's really only kind of two options. And it brought everyone down. That was a bad day for the tournament. And it's just unlucky. Like, I just feel as if that's a bad break for the tournament. But it's not something you want to deal with. That's for sure. And, you know, I've withdrawn twice from tournaments in my career. Both happened to me in Mexico. So in Acapulco. So back-to-back years. Those are the only two times I ever pulled out of a match. So bad luck, dude. Like, I felt bad for these guys, like, because you just know what they're going through, and then you have to fly and travel. Like, it is a daunting task.
Why was it only like the good players that got it?
Yeah,
Rune,
conspiracy
Casper
theory,
Rune, Tommy Paul. Like, no, I thought conspiracy. That's just I don't know, maybe they're a little soft with the.
It could be a conspiracy, but you definitely don't want the top five guys to go out there and be banged up.
Look, I'll say this. I mean, for Casper's sake, he played a great first round match. He won very easily. And then he, in the second round, he was playing against like the 350th ranked Mexican wildcard who won 7-6 in the third. So Casper really had to be in bad shape, right? To not be able to take the court against the Mexican wildcard ranked 350. Like, Casper was going to clean the court, you know, clean his clock, is what I'm trying to say. And, so it must have been met. Same with Tommy Paul. He was a big favorite over Marcos Giron in the second round. I don't know. I think for me, when I would go down to Mexico, I would just try to be very cautious. And like, I wouldn't eat many salads just because they would potentially wash the lettuce with the water that's contaminated or something. I don't know. But these guys got it bad.
After my issue in 2018, unless it was over fire, I wasn't touching it. Like, unless it was cooked, like, I was not. Like, you know, like, maybe, you know, whatever, I had some ice or something, but like, unless it was like over direct flame, it was not going in my body. Like, I was not, you know, I was so diligent after that. Kind of annoying, you know, I'd use 42 water bottles a day to like brush my teeth. And
ultimately, it just sucks for that. I feel bad for the tennis fans at Acapulco. The tournament's packed. No offense to the guys that are, you know, went to the quarter semis finals, but when you're losing like your top dogs, it just kind of stinks for tennis.
Yeah, yeah. So Tommy and Casper could not even take the court in the second round. Rune played three matches in the second round.
He played three matches in the second round?
Sorry, excuse me.
So good.
Good point. Three games. And three matches was my point, is that he barely even got played. Two of them didn't take the court. Rune played three games against Nakashima. So that's brutal for the tournament that they didn't get to see Rude, Tommy, and they saw three games of a sick Holger Rune. That's not great. Of the guys that were seemingly healthy, Shelton, Tiafoe, Sasha, although he did say he had some stomach issues in his loss to Tien in the second round. Anyways, on none of these guys, the six players I named, Rude, Tommy Paul, Holger Rune, Sasha Zverev, Ben Shelton, Francis Tiafoe, none of them made it out of the second round. And that is a big bummer for the tournament, because you want those guys at the very least to be into the quarterfinals. And it just wasn't the case. And the beneficiary of all this was Mr. Short Shorts himself, Tomas Mahach. Jack, you're the only one of us that I believe that has played him. So I'm going to ask you this. Were you... I guess when you played him a long time, I know it was on clay, it was in Houston. Did you think he was going to be a player that could win a 500 level type event like this? He's only 24 years old, so he's got a lot of runway. Like, I've always watched him play, and I think he's very, very solid. But Jack, what about you after you played him and he beat you in Houston a handful of years ago?
Yeah, he beat me pretty handily as well. I think his movement around the court, his ball striking. He's a very like disciplined, smart player. It seems like makes you play a lot of balls, gets a lot of balls back. I figured he would be a he would give guys trouble. I'm not sure if I had him maybe in the top 20 or moving up the way he is or winning a 500 title. Obviously, he was on the fortunate side of the carnage that happened. I think that's safe to say. I'd say top 20, that's an incredible accomplishment for him. I'm not sure how, I think once you get there, all the guys in front of him, that's going to be tough to pass up. I mean, all these amazing players, but he's obviously a hell of a player, and he strikes the ball very cleanly, and he's one of the fastest guys out there. Shows a lot of leg, which probably is in his favor. And I think he could maybe a couple more spots, but I think this might be the highest he gets, would be my opinion.
I think his game is really good. I think he can make top 10. If Deminar and Holger Rune and like some of these guys can get in the top 10, like I'm a little more bullish on Mahach. I think he can go like toe to toe with anyone. He beat Djokovic this year, right?
I'll make a bet with you. He never makes top 10.
Okay. Bet is on.
If he makes top 10 though, how short will his shorts be?
He's like one good tournament away from like top 10.
Yeah. I'm with Sam. I think he'll get
nothing
there.
Major wager.
Nothing major wager. We don't know the wager, but yeah, I think he's like 10. I'm not going like top five, but like 10. He's going to reach it.
Really? I don't think so.
Well, I'm just bullish on his game. I'm with you, Sam. But also just Czech tennis with Lehecka and Mincik. I think these three guys, very good, very young. I think after Berdych retired, there was about 4 or 5 year period where like there wasn't a super solid Czech player. Now there's three of them. So I think that's good. Certainly good for Czech tennis. But anyways, he takes the title in Acapulco. He took out Davidovich Fokina. Did you guys see in the very first round, Davidovich Fokina lost the first set and was down 6-2 in the second set tiebreaker? And like, as you guys know, if you like pull some Houdini off like that and early in a tournament, you're completely playing with house money. So it was no surprise to me that he made the final after that and even beat Francis in the second round, because it's tough playing against a guy. If you're the person playing against someone who just saved 8 match points or whatever it is, that should have lost by all means. I always found it hard playing that person that should have been out in the previous round that sort of escaped. And I think Francis was up against that in the second round against Davidovich Fokina. Also, another point, if you guys, we're going to close the loop here on Acapulco. The top players, as y'all know, don't stay, for the listeners here, they don't stay. I mean, we don't know exactly how many players it was, but they don't stay at the main hotel. So the players with big appearance fees stay in the villas. It's sort of off campus a little bit. And you have these beautiful villas right on the water. You have a private chef, your private pool. So you're not subject, I guess, to the big main hotel, which there's fans everywhere and people everywhere. And there's the restaurants over there. So you have your own private villas, private chefs, private everything. And the top guys were the ones that got sick. So maybe there's something there with the food they were eating over at the villas. Cause it seems the players that were staying at the main hotel were staying at the main hotel, you know, kind of came out unscathed there.
I think the lesson here is don't be a diva and stay at the villas. Just stay at the normal hotel with everyone else. John, you stayed at the villas, right?
I did. But if they offered you the villa, you wouldn't stay there, Sam?
Yeah, I would have.
You would have. Exactly. Exactly.
Of course you would have.
Exactly. But so Mahach takes the title, does not beat a single player ranked inside the top 40 en route to the title. But he took care of business. And Sam, how do you feel about him joining the exclusive list of Acapulco champions?
Look, you can only beat who's in front of you, but come on, not beating anyone in the top 40. Like that's just, he did a great job of taking advantage of a unique situation with everyone pulling out. So can't fault the guy for that. Good on him for winning the tournament. But there's a little asterisk, you know, near that title.
Should he get like half the size of a poster of Bayou?
Yeah.
Did you got the big draped poster out in front of the Acapulco Stadium? You should only get a half of the size since you don't.
Do you think Sam still has that?
Or oh, yeah. They removed it. It was there 2 years ago when I was there.
That's what I'm saying.
It's got all the champions. Ago. Yeah, yeah. It's got all the champions up there. I'm telling you.
Anyways, congrats to him. On to Dubai. And on last week's episode, you guys asked me who I thought was going to win the tournament. And I said Andre Rublev. And all of y'all laughed at me. And you were exactly right, as he lost in the first round. I will say he lost 7-6 in the third. I do think if he won that match, he could have made the finals. But that's moot. He went out early. Horrible prediction for me. Someone wrote in on social and said, should I put money on this? And I said, please don't. do not do that. I'm terrible at predicting stuff. And it just showed right then and there as he lost first round. But Tsitsipas takes the title, a completely resurgent Tsitsipas. We saw him in the week prior in Doha lose against a guy quite literally with a torn hamstring in a third set breaker. And he turns it around and takes the Dubai title, absolutely loaded field with Medvedev, with Rublev, with Humbert, Dimitrov, Alex Diemenauer was the number two seed, and Tsitsipas takes the title. What do you guys think about him going forward, I guess, for Indian Wells in Miami, as he's clearly going to be confident? And also, did y'all notice anything different about Tsitsipas this past week in Dubai? Jack, I want to start with you. How impressed were you with his run in Dubai?
Yeah, I think he's obviously been struggling for his standards, been struggling for a little while now. He's been 3-4 on the season going into this. I don't think anybody probably predicted him winning that tournament, especially like you said, after last week's results. But he's been a staple, I feel like, of the sport for a while. Obviously, he has the game in there. We all know that. It looked like he was using a blacked out racket potentially, and not his maybe typical Wilson. I think we all know whenever we had maybe trying something new or had a new company or new brand we're using, it's going to be blacked out like that. So maybe that either it give him a lot of confidence, maybe helping his game, giving him maybe some more leniency on shots, especially that one-handed backhand at times can get a little squirrely, land short. So yeah, very impressed. He can turn around in 1 week and go win a title like that, especially with that field. It's good for him. I feel like he's a very big name in the sport. People like to see him do well. So yeah, big props to him. And maybe it's the racket switch, maybe it's something else, but hopefully the newfound confidence for the rest of the year for sure.
Yeah. Sam, what do you think about Tsitsipas's level? Were you tuned in to Dubai at all last week?
Yeah. I mean, quite honestly, that field kind of sucked a little bit too. Everyone, the bottom half, every seed lost first round. Again, he went on to beat Berrettini and Griegspoor and FAA in the final, but it wasn't like some of these loaded Dubai fields that we've seen. But Tsitsipas has proved in the past that he can play at a big time level, making finals a slam. So I think he's going to go like on a little run now, get himself back into the top, or no, he is back into the top 10. I have a crazy stat for you guys though. In the final, he played Felix. How do you say Felix's last name, by the way?
Auger-Aliassime.
I got to figure that out before I commentate next week. Okay. So at Madrid last year, Felix got 3 walkovers or retirements. In Doha last week, he got 2. From those combined tournaments, he received $510,000 and 650 ATP points in retirements and walkovers in 2 events, did FAA. That's crazy. And I'm going like, you know, if he was in the quarters and got 200 points, got to the semis for 400.
Of course.
Like, I was adding 200 points. I'm not giving him the 400. I did the math and the money correctly, but he was awarded 650 ATP points and $500,000 in walkovers and retirements in 2 events over the last 7 months. He's really good. He's really good. Not saying anything like, not that he wouldn't be where he is without those, but those are crazy numbers.
He's crazy for it. And then he had that, you guys see in his first round against Bublik, he had like a point replayed because the ball kid
that was
like interfered. He had a 1 in 100 chance of winning that point because Bublik smashes an overhead and he's running across the court trying to play defense on this overhead. Anyways, but he got that point replayed, and then Sasha, being the showman that he is, former nothing major guest, hit him with an underhand serve at 6-6 in the first set tiebreaker. Absolutely incredible. I love that. I actually hate the underarm serve, excuse me, but pulling it off at 6-6 in the first set tiebreaker after you got, let's be honest, screwed on the previous point on a ruling, was massive stones from Bublik. I loved seeing that. I don't know if you guys, fans, check that out. It's out there on Tennis TV, that end of the first set tiebreaker in the first round between Auger-Aliassime and Bublik. But Stevie, real quick, you want to touch on Tsitsipas and his week in Dubai as well?
Yeah, I mean, we all know, we've all been through this before to this level of like what kind of rut you are in. Like he was in one. I mean, granted, he was only, you know, 12, 13 in the world. So his ruts are a little different. But losing to a guy, Hamad Medjelovic last week, who tore his hamstring basically and couldn't walk, and he loses the breaker like that. You never know when rock bottom is going to be. And we've all been there. Like you're just waiting to get to that point to kind of fully give up, you know, whatever. Like you just kind of a full reset. You know, he's gone through some stuff, obviously, with his dad in the box and not being there anymore. I mean, the guy's still an extremely talented player. I said last week I thought his window had closed for winning these matches, like doing some commentating. But I like the racket switch. And I think that last week's loss in that breaker, the way he did it, like that was it for him. Like you can't get to a lower point than he did, you know, respectively for how good he is. And that just shows like he is still capable of winning these tournaments. A 500 the week after, new racket, new confidence. You know, I think that can springboard him to a big rest of the year. But kudos to him, because it is not easy to pick yourself up off the mat, especially after a loss like that last week. Really impressive. And I mean, we've all been there. You don't know when the lights are going to turn back on, but luckily for him, it was this week. So kudos to him. Really impressive.
Yeah. And actually another crazy stat, which I'm sure a lot of fans have seen, prior to winning Dubai, Tsitsipas was 0-11. So I took it was his 12th opportunity at an ATP 500 title, and he finally did it. And Djokovic actually posted something pretty funny on Instagram, and he has a picture of Tsitsipas with the big boat trophy, and he says, "No one beats Stefanos Tsitsipas 12 times in a row on a 500 ATP tour level. Well done to him." So again, very well done. I like his chances big time. I played this guy when, in my mind, he was in full flight. I think the year he made the French Open finals, I played him in the French Open. And dude, like when he's on and confident, he is nasty. He might be playing, it looks like he's playing with a different racket, so he's got all sorts of confidence stemming from that as well. So I really like his chances to make a lot of noise in Indian Wells and Miami. We'll see what happens. Got some awesome part of the stretch on the tour coming up with these two tournaments, with which all of us, both love. Maybe Stevie doesn't love Miami as much as Jack and me and Sam do. But anyways, great week ahead of us on tour. And congrats to Mahach for winning Acapulco and Tsitsipas for taking the Dubai title. And the tour moves on to the desert in Indian Wells after that.
Want to do a quick shout out to the girls? How about Pegula winning Austin and Emma Navarro winning the tournament down in Mexico? 0-0 in the finals.
Oh, double bag.
It was a 500. It was a WTA 500 that Emma Navarro won 0-0 in the finals. That's absurd. Do you see the girl she beat in the final, though? I feel bad for Emiliana Arango. Cool style. The backwards hat. And I'm a fan. I don't know why, but I'm a fan of hers.
Well, all of us are big fans of Pegula taking the title in Austin with McConaughey in tow, watching the tournament all week. You know, I feel like with between Tommy Paul and Jesse, we know them both very well. Like McConaughey, Sam, I think you should shoot your shot again.
Yeah, I should reach back out. You want me to do it right now?
You should double hit him.
No, but look, but as you mentioned, Sam, just massive results for Pegula, especially Navarro, like winning 0-0. It's like insane. So they're going to be full of confidence heading into Indian Wells as well. And it's going to be great. So the American women are going in there with a lot. Are you doing it, Sam?
No, well, he hasn't read my first one yet. So
okay.
Yeah, I was trying to sell it, man.
Before we move on, actually, to the segment that everyone wants to talk about, the winner of our hottie bracket. Does anyone know exactly what's going on with the number one ranked men's American, Taylor Fritz? He pulled out of Acapulco. I haven't seen him pull out of many tournaments. Did anyone know his health status going into Indian Wells, Stevie? Seems like
he had a bit of a stomach issue, some type of minor injury. But as we know, when you have like an oblique or something, it doesn't heal the more you play. And Fritz is somebody that I think this is a good sign for him. He is maturing. He is becoming, because normally 5 years ago, he would have just played until his body broke in half. Like he loves to play every week, and he can compete like the best of them. So kudos to him to kind of have the growth, be like, I'm going to skip, you know, Del Rey, Acapulco, give myself. And then he pulled out of the Netflix slam, which ultimately got canceled for the men anyway. So kudos to him to like take a break, because he wants to win Indian Wells. Like, and he can't do that at 80%. Like, he needs to be, and especially like this next month, two master series, 2000s in the States. So he'll be ready, I would assume. Haven't seen him the last couple weeks, kind of just taking care of his business, getting healthy. And he would be somebody especially to look for, like, fresh at Indian Wells to make a deep, deep run in a tournament that he has won, right?
Yeah, he won Indian Wells. No, I mean, as you guys know, if you have any sort of feeling in your stomach, Jack, you had abdominal surgery. I mean, like, that is a brutal one. I've had some things where I've kind of felt it, and the last thing you want to do is take the course. So Taylor obviously was feeling something, because for him to pull out, but Jack, like, the stomach thing, like, was that a situation of you, like, tried to play through your injury and ultimately you ripped your ab and had to get surgery?
Yeah, I think the tough part with that one is, like, when you're hitting ground strokes and you're running around, you actually don't feel much at all. It's obviously when you're reaching, and we do that every point when we're serving. So yeah, I could play at the baseline and not feel like I wasn't injured. And then as soon as I went up for a serve, it was like, it felt like your stomach was just being stretched.
Oh, it's a horrible feeling.
Yeah. And I feel like when you go in, so I don't, hopefully his is minor enough, obviously, to not have surgery, which it sounds like, but yeah, it was either like take X amount of time, which felt like forever, it could maybe heal on its own. But then, when I ended up going in, it was torn. So yeah, I had to go in and get it repaired. And honestly, I have had zero issues ever since. I mean, it sucked being out, but it was only 3 months. I mean, I got the surgery in December, and I played Indian Wells, I think.
In most cases, you can still hit groundies and volleys. So he's probably still practicing, just not hitting serves and overheads, which is fine. As long as the stomach heals and he has 4 or 5 days to get some reps in with his shoulder and his serves, he should be fine. So we wish him the best going forward. So the results of our first ever, I don't know if we're going to keep this a running thing each and every year, but the inaugural ATP Hottie Bracket, which, as Stevie mentioned, was 100% Sam's brainchild. I had some doubts on it at the very beginning.
I had some doubts as well.
We all did. Sam, great call. I think we owe you an apology. The people loved it. And Sam made up a 16-man draw. And it came down to Tommy Paul versus Matteo Berrettini, which is, I think, of a final a lot of people expected. And in our fan vote on our Instagram stories went to Matteo Berrettini as the hottest guy on the ATP tour. It really wasn't that close. It was like a 62% to 38% margin for something like that for Berrettini. Congrats to Matteo. Do you guys think he can build some confidence from this going forward, like Tsitsipas can in Dubai?
They all saw it. They all saw the draw. They all wanted to win it. I know he didn't win Dubai, but like, is there another tournament you want to win more than the Hottie Bracket? I mean, this is a big win for him. Also, just a little tap on my own shoulder for my seeding. I had the 1 and 2 seeds in the finals. In the quarterfinals, I had 7 of my 8 top 8 seeds making it to the quarterfinals. So, like, I don't know what that says, really, but I know.
You're a good talent evaluator.
I'm just a good talent evaluator. Thank you, Stevie. But, yeah.
No, I thought Grigor was the 2 seed. You had Grigor as the 2 seed, Sam.
Oh, it did? Yeah, you're right. Berrettini is the 3. Oh, yeah. I had the 1 and the 3. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, but, the 1 and the 3.
Berrettini, honestly, like, kind of, like, rolled everyone.
He was like Rafa in his prime at the French. He just dominated.
I mean, he had a tough first-round win over Kukushkin as well.
You never want to see the local wild card.
You don't. Exactly. We have the tournament Kazakh.
Sam and Stevie, you guys are going to be at the desert next week. Jack, you're not going to be there. I don't think I'm going to be there either. Do we have something in store for Matteo as a memento from his 11th title? Took his 11th title in the ATP Hottie Award. Had he won Dubai, it would have been a number 11 and 12. But anyways, guys, his 11th title with the ATP Hottie Award. Are you guys going to give him something in person in the desert?
We're going to find him. I will hunt him down in the parking lot to give him this trophy.
I mean, you just got to go to the court like with the most people watching. Everyone's going to want to watch him at practice now. He's probably going to have his shirt off, like, you know, It's going
to
be
actually,
it's gonna
that's
be
the place to do it. We find him on the practice court with everyone watching, present him, because they're, I mean, I'm assuming everyone at Indian Wells listens to the pod, so they probably know about the hottie bracket.
Yeah, everybody's listening. So
they'll know what we're doing when we present him with the trophy, and maybe we're maybe like a big check, you know, to Carrabba's for like $15 or something. So nice Italian.
No,
is Carrabba's Apple? No, what's Italian?
Applebee's. No,
Applebee's
right there.
Olive Garden. Olive Garden. He's Italian. Olive Garden. Dude.
Olive Garden or Mastroianni Grill.
But is there one in there in the desert? Is what I'm saying. There's the apple. There's the legendary Applebee's right there beside the courts.
Has to be an Olive Garden.
There's an Olive Garden.
It's got to be an Italian restaurant.
Okay. Okay.
Got to be
You're
Italian
right.
restaurant. We're gonna get
Olive Garden or Carrabba's.
Yes.
To really make him feel like he's at home.
Yes. Exactly.
Okay. Beautiful. That's it for this Monday episode. We don't have a name for our Monday show, so it's just I don't know. It's the Monday edition of Nothing Major right now. We got to come up with something a lot catchier than that. We appreciate everyone joining in. Please tune in to Friday's drop because we are going to have a very cool guest, a fellow bot, a big bot. Riley Opelka joins the pod as our guest to talk all things tennis, art, his, let's say, disdain for doubles, to put it nicely. So the very opinionated Riley Opelka will be a guest on our pod, and this is going to drop on Friday. We actually have a website. It's something I didn't even realize we had until a few weeks ago, but we do, and it's nothingmajorshow.com. So as well as how you guys can keep up with us on social, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you can keep up with us on nothingmajorshow.com. So submit some questions, some suggestions for the name of our Monday show on our website, which again is nothingmajorshow.com. We want to get that up and running and get some traffic. So please go to there and submit any questions or comments or reviews you have for us on our website. Thanks a lot.